Checking in with Quincy, School Committee Vice Chair Anthony Andronico for an update on the June 3rd remote school committee meeting. Hey, Anthony, nice to see you.
Good to see you too, Joe. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
You bet. These are great. These are going to be Thursday chats with Anthony. We're going to start to call them.
I can't believe I got my own segment now.
See, it didn't take much. Just took a little pandemic to get you up. You're going to meet, I guess, right through the end of the school year, right? Every week now?
Yeah, we've been meeting every week. Essentially, the two big things that we've had on our plate are trying to figure out high school graduations and setting a process and plan in motion for our superintendent search. And really, this past week, it seems like we're in a place where after our meeting next week, we'll be able to adjust to biweekly meetings. Once every 2 weeks as opposed to every week, because those are pretty much in a place where they don't necessitate weekly meetings anymore. And I actually had an update about the high school graduations to share with folks. I know everyone's been asking about them, so I was hoping maybe to jump into that, Joe.
Yep, Matt's, you know, let's not bury the lead, as they say in the news.
Right. I'll get right into it. I know Deputy Superintendent Mulvey and our Director of Natural Resources, Mr. Murphy, have been working behind the scenes and the whole team to get this situated and figure out how we can have an in-person graduation, socially distant for folks. And so without further ado, on July 24th, Friday at 6 p.m., North Quincy High School will have their graduation. Everyone will get two tickets that will need to be pre-registered ahead of time for students to bring, you know, family members or people that they'd like to see them graduate. And we're going to hold them to two tickets apiece. We'll be very strict about that. Quincy High School will have their graduation the following day, and it will actually be two graduations. So the first half will be at 10 a.m. for students, you know, half of the students sorted alphabetically, and the other half of students alphabetically will have theirs at 4 p.m. And the same guidelines will apply regarding the number of individuals they can have as guests. Everyone will be required to wear masks. Individuals under 5 years old, those with pre-existing health conditions, and those 65 or older are discouraged in general from attending. Those are the guidelines according to the state. But at the very least, you know, the community was pretty vocal that we need to do everything we can to give these kids a shot at having, you know, the same experiences that everyone else does. And I think, you know, while not perfect, this plan does allow us to do as much as we possibly can for them.
So logistically, Anthony, how will folks be spaced out on the field and in the stands? How will that work?
So students will be, you know, 6 feet apart on the field. Speakers will be set back a little ways, and we're actually going to limit, you know, in general, the number of unnecessary attendees. So there aren't going to be as many dignitaries as there have in prior years, but all the typical speeches you usually see should still take place. And parents and guests will be situated in the stands. They'll be separated out by a socially distant distance, I guess, you know, according to the guidelines. Individuals from the same household will be able to sit together, but there will be enough space on either side or on the sides of the end zone to add bleachers and space this out so that everyone will have their space to be able to properly congratulate their graduate.
Okay, and how will you be handling the distribution of diplomas?
So my understanding is that we're still going to hand those out. So that's my understanding as of this moment. That plan can definitely change. And I know we still need to survey students to find out, are you planning to attend in the first place? If so, who are the two guests that you'll be bringing? Because we need to know that ahead of time too, in case anything occurs where you need to do tracing. Or something like that. So, you know, it's going to look a little bit different. The exact logistics as far as what that ceremony is going to look like as far as who's speaking when. Are the graduates going to get their diplomas at the ceremony? Who's handing them out? Do they have them ahead of time? Do they bring them? Is that that's still being worked out? But at the very least, we have those graduation dates nailed down and we're going to follow through with them.
Okay. And what about the cap and gown situation? How's that going to be handled?
Yep. So they should also get their cap and gowns so they can wear them at the ceremonies as well. And also, I'd be remiss to mention that there are rain dates as well. So typically, if it rains during graduation, you can move inside to a gym. That is not an option for us here. So the dates in front of me, I just want to double check. The rain date for North Quincy High is July 27th at 6 p.m. And the rain date for the 10 a.m. ceremony for Quincy High is July 28th at 6 p.m. And the rain date for the 4 p.m. ceremony for Quincy High is July 29th at 6 p.m. So the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the next week.
Okay. And do you know, is the band going to be performing during this, Anthony? Do you know? Have they talked about that?
That was not brought up at the meeting. And honestly, I'm not entirely certain if they'll be able to, given the guidelines and needing to restrict overall the number of individuals that are there.
Right.
Something I'll absolutely bring up with the team as we move forward. I know parents are going to want to know, too, because the band has always been a big part of graduation celebrations.
They always do. The band and the choir as well, sure, yeah.
Right.
How about masks? Will they have to bring their own or will those be provided?
Typically, the understanding is that you need to bring your own. At this point in time, I know essentially everyone has made a mask or has some covering that they've used, whether it's a bandana. I've even seen people cutting out new socks and using those, the elastics on either side. So that's my understanding, but I would not be surprised if we had, some backups just in case, because, sometimes people forget. That's totally understandable.
Sure. And of course, is the cap toss going to be allowed, Anthony?
That is something that I had not thought about, but considering individuals are going to be 6 feet apart, there's going to be ample space. I think as long as you try not to throw it to the moon, you'll be able to throw it, a little lightly so that it falls and you know which one is actually yours or something to that effect.
Sure. Okay, very good. So we have a plan, a tentative plan, actually.
We do. It's nice to actually have a tentative plan. I feel like I've been giving you an update and every week it's, next week we'll get to it and figure it out. But we were close, and then the state gave us new guidelines, so we had to adjust.
Right, yeah. Essentially, the same thing, only later in the summer.
Right, right.
Okay, very good. If the folks want to have questions about this plan or want to comment on it, should they reach out to you or the superintendent?
Yeah, we're always available. Anyone on the school committee, you can reach out to me at anthonyandronico@quincypublicschools.com. So we're available. You can always reach out to the central office as well. You can reach Deputy Superintendent Mulvey, soon to be Interim Superintendent Mulvey, at his email address, or really anyone on the team is happy to talk with you about it or just work through your questions.
Okay. And how will they get the tickets and when will those be available?
Yep. So parents, families should be, and students obviously, should be getting an email notification shortly. About that lays out really what I've talked about tonight, about the guidelines, about how to sign up, a survey if you're attending or not, who's going and designating those individuals, and further smoothing out the process better than I can, frankly.
Okay. So will there be actual paper tickets that'll be collected at the gate? Or?
That's my understanding, or your name in addition will be put on a list.
Okay.
So that when you go, you can say, here's my graduate, here's who I am. I should be on the list for that. So that not only do you have a paper ticket or maybe, a ticket on the phone where you show an email with a notification code, or it could just be the names. You say, here are the people, these are my guests, and you move right along.
Okay. So, but it sounds like it's crucial to make sure your name and your guest names are registered beforehand.
Right. It's pretty important that people respond to that one. I know it can be a little overwhelming, especially now. It seems like you're getting 10 or 15 emails every day from your student's teacher or the principal or their superintendent or the deputy superintendent, and there's a lot to stay on top of. But if you had to respond to one email from Quincy Public Schools, that one.
The one, okay. Now, is the superintendent still planning on issuing the graduation declaration at the next week's school committee meeting?
Yes, on June 10th, the superintendent will issue that declaration. And as a reminder, on June 8th and June 9th on QATV at 6 p.m., those tribute videos will be coming out as well with shortened speeches that you would usually hear from like your class officers. I had a short speech on there, but you know, students don't really care about what I have to say about their graduation. You know, I don't really remember who spoke at my graduation and was the vice chair of the school committee, but I do remember my class president's speech, and they're on there too. And the video tributes will have photos of the graduates, you know, previous memories from their high school days and even earlier. So I think, you know, the team did a great job with it, and it's a great memento for them. On top of the in-person ceremony that they're going to get.
Right, yes, kind of a little added extra bonus that other classes had, yeah. Speaking of, you know, virtual things, I know we didn't talk about this beforehand, but can you just explain how the awards ceremonies are going, Anthony?
Yep, so the feedback that we've received thus far is that the award ceremonies have been a hit, which is good news. I know each of the PACs at North Quincy High and Quincy High have put in a lot of work behind the scenes too with that, and they've helped out. So I just want to say thank you to them. I know they've given out some scholarship funding too. But my understanding was that the events that have gone on for the award ceremonies have been a big hit with the community, and they're glad that they got that recognition that they deserve. So I was pretty glad to see that we followed through on those nights too.
Yeah, that's great. And I understand there's some special ceremonies in the works for athletes as well and for some of the athletic programs. I don't think those are finalized yet on those.
Yeah, so those aren't finalized just yet. But, you know, the typical recognition that would even go along with being a Patriot Ledger All-Scholastic, for example, or, you know, the Sportsmanship Award on your varsity team, your spring team, or even your winter team, it could be. You know, those types of ceremonies, those banquets have. But I know every individual team has been working to make that happen, though.
Sure. Let's move on to summer school, which is going to stay online, right?
Right. Yeah, so summer school is, you know, it's not exactly what it is, but our remote summer programs have been rolled out. Parents received the notification if their family, their child is eligible for those programs. And actually, today we've had 1,900 families sign up for this, which is actually a little above where we usually see summer programming in general. But we have programs for elementary school students, middle school students, high school students, ELL students, special education. We even have programs for our teachers to get up to date on synchronous learning. What that might help us out in the fall as we transition back to school. So we have programs really for every group of students within Quincy Public Schools. And it's been pretty nice to see how many folks have already signed up for it. So I'm looking forward to it in general. I know there's SAT prep for 9th and 10th grade students. There's a transitioning to high school program for 8th graders moving on. And it's a pretty wide range of what we have. And I also want to make sure to mention that the mayor invested enough so that we were able to waive fees associated with these programs. So people, especially now during such strange and difficult times, don't have to worry about where they are going to come up with the money for actually attending these programs. It's something they shouldn't have to worry about right now.
You know, I think that's great. And for, you know, for students and parents who feel their students may have been falling behind just because of, the pandemic, here's a great way to maybe do a little catch up.
Right. It is a good way to sort of continue that learning and make sure heading into the next year that your student is in the best position to succeed.
Sure. If folks want to register for the summer programs, Anthony, and they have not been contacted, can they do that?
I would contact the central office about that. I would specifically reach out to the central office just to double check, you know, if maybe you didn't see the email or you're just wondering if you're eligible or not. They would have better information because there's a wide range of the programs. So there's not sort of a one size fits all to if you're eligible for this program or that program. But I do know email notifications were sent out regarding these programs as well.
Okay, very good. Moving on now to the fall.
Yeah.
That was a quick summer. I
hope we can. So I know, summer program guidelines were released this past week by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and Commissioner Riley. And my understanding is Commissioner Riley is still finalizing the details on what those guidelines are going to look like for reopening schools in September. What are the cleaning procedures going to be? Are we going to have to designate hallways as being one way, depending on how wide they are? Will we need to have staggered schedules where half of students are in one day, the other half the next, or even within the same day? So we're still waiting on those guidelines, but it looks like next week, at our next meeting, we might have that on the agenda to discuss. It will honestly depend on whether or not those guidelines are given to us 48 hours ahead of time when the schedule comes out or not. But that's something that we've already started fielding a ton of questions from parents, teachers, our principals, our SLT. Everyone has questions about it. I have plenty of questions.
Yeah,
what it will look like.
But will it even be September? Will it be October? Will it be November?
We don't know. Right. Or is there going to need to be a contingency plan where maybe there's a spike and initially you roll out, but then you have to pull back and you have to go back to remote.
Right.
Another question I've heard is, are parents going to be given the option to not send their student if they want?
Great question.
What does it have to look like? So it's very complicated.
And transportation, what a school bus is, what are those going to look like? Yeah.
Right. I think regardless of the plan that any school district points out or puts out, it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's impossible for it to be perfect. But, you know, we need to be listening to all of our stakeholders to make sure that we do the best we can to provide a plan that takes into account their feedback and their feelings. Because, you know, it's a safety issue. It really is. I don't want folks to forget. You know, I know the weather's a little bit nicer. We're going outside a little bit more. Guidelines are being lifted. But, you know, we're still in the middle of this thing. And we need to make sure we have a plan in place to keep students safe.
Can we talk a little bit about the Student Opportunity Act, Anthony?
Right. So we had a public meeting on Tuesday of this past week, I believe the 2nd, with the co-hosted with the citywide PTO, the English Language Learners PAC, and the Special Education PAC, the three main stakeholder groups that are impacted by the Student Opportunity Act funding that's supposed to assist with closing the achievement gaps between students. So those plans have been rolled out. We got the feedback from those groups, and essentially there were a lot of questions about it, but there was not anything that was a part of the plan or missing from the plan that needed to be accounted for. So we're going to move ahead with the plan that we've drafted, Quincy Public Schools leadership team has drafted. I believe at next week's meeting, we should approve those plans to submit to the state for their review. And I would expect the state to accept them. Again, that deadline had been pushed back a few months now. So the deadline to submit those plans is now June 19th. And whether or not the funding is actually going to come through from the state for these programs is TBD. But at the very least, the mayor has pledged his support to at least fund part of the plan. And our budget does reflect that. We've added positions for social and emotional learning. We've added positions for special education for English language learners, additional guidance staff. And I don't mean to make it sound like we're adding tons and tons of positions, because we're not. We're working essentially with $700,000, part of which was saved from teacher retirements heading into next year. And, really we're looking at a relatively level budget, and an overall increase of under 1% from last year. And nearly all of that is from contractual step increases that we're required to adjust. So in addition, we did approve the budget from the subcommittee, and now it'll be before the whole school committee at our next meeting. So parents, if you have any feedback you'd like to give, there's still time to give that between now and our meeting on the 10th regarding the budget.
Okay. And I know one thing that was approved separate from the budget, really from the federal grant money, was the new Chromebook computers. So how will those be distributed, Anthony?
Right. So actually part of the budget that we have funded is for an additional tech administrator to mainly assist with rolling out those Chromebooks. It's 7,000 Chromebooks will be given to students in grades 5 through 12. Anyone in those grades that wants a Chromebook will get one. That's the deal. And if there are students that say maybe they don't want it, and you get to a place where you have enough Chromebooks to roll out to the fourth graders, then that's what we're going to do. So 7,000 Chromebooks are coming, most of that money coming from, all of that money coming from the CARES Act. And thank you to the mayor for advocating and allocating that funding for this purpose. I know there are a few other communities that have that one-on-one Chromebook ratio for students. And I think this will open up a lot of opportunities moving forward, whether remote learning is in place or not. For us to do more things within the classroom and continue to innovate.
Yeah, and so will they get them in class? Will they get them in the mail? I mean, how will they actually?
Yeah, so that program, well, one, it'll depend on when we actually get the Chromebooks.
Sure. Yeah.
But I would expect later on in the summer. But we expect it to roll out similarly to how we have the program in place now. If you need to request a Chromebook,
okay,
is your individual school. Mm-hmm. We'll send you a notification. You'll say, yes, I'd like a Chromebook. And then there will be a scheduled pickup time, a sign out form you'll need to have, a waiver form essentially saying, if anything happens to this Chromebook, here's how you can fix it. Here's what we'll do for you. An agreement that is on loan to you, not just given to you to keep forever as well. Great. So the more details, again, to come once we get them, but I know we should have another position to help the tech team that's already in place, but we're talking about 7,000 Chromebooks, and they can't just magically appear to everyone.
Great. Okay. Yes, it's quite a benefit, really, for a public school system to be able to do that and be willing to do that, so kudos to them for that, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing, going off script again, sorry, Anthony.
That's okay.
Just given the recent events of this past week in this country, I saw the letter from Deputy Superintendent Mulvey offering student support services, guidance counseling services to any parents or children who feel they need to speak about the riots, the protests that have erupted in regards to the George Floyd case. Has that come up at the school committee meeting?
Yeah, so we went over pretty briefly, the letter that Mr. Mulvey sent out, but I know Mayor Koch spoke on it. I spoke a little bit about it. I know a few of us were able to go to my colleagues were able to go to the protest or the vigil rally in Quincy Center the other day. Yeah. Just speaking on that for, just a moment, I'm pretty proud that as many people were able to make the vigil in Quincy Center, were able to exercise their First Amendment rights peacefully, were able to stand for justice and demanding justice for George Floyd and for so many others that have been unjustly pinned down by the system, to be very frank. And over the last week or so, I'll speak just for myself, I've been thinking a lot about what our school system is doing, what I'm doing, and if it's enough. Quincy has a minority majority district, there are more non-white students in Quincy Public Schools than there are white students. Are we doing enough to demand justice? Are we doing enough to ensure that things like this don't happen in our community moving forward? So that's something that I've personally been thinking about for not just the last week. And so in general, I think a couple things Quincy can do moving forward, you know, we can take or continue to look pretty hard at our hiring practices and procedures to make sure we're doing everything we can to hire a teacher staff that reflects the diversity that we have within our schools. One thing that was brought up with our vocal survey this past fall was it was clear we needed to work on even the books that we have in our libraries. Not enough students said that when they read a book that they see characters that look like them. And that's a problem. That's something that we need to fix. And it's not something that takes a ton of effort to do. And you know, another thing we can do is provide more supports for social and emotional learning so that we can continue to talk about these things so students can deal with their feelings appropriately. And that you're not only fostering those conversations, but you're fostering the base for us to take action and do what's right. So the things I just mentioned, that's not, it doesn't fully encapsulate everything we can do. It doesn't fully encapsulate entirely how I feel, but I just want folks at home to know that this is supposed to be a conversation. This is supposed to be the start of action. And if you have an experience that you need to share or you want to share with me, any of my colleagues about how we can do better, tell us. Please, please tell us, because we need to be the change that we want to see. And I would just maybe like to end this with, I think, a perfect quote from Martin Luther King Jr. on this, which is the time is always right to do what is right. So that's in general. You know, those are my thoughts on it, and people will agree, people will disagree. And of course, before I forget, I want to give a shout out to the Quincy Police Department as well, who, you know, there wasn't a permit pulled for the vigil. Individuals went to Quincy Center, and then they decided at the spur of the moment to march down Hancock Street, and QPD had to adjust immediately, block off traffic, protect those that were marching, protect their rights. And not only that, but when individuals that attended the vigil took a knee, QPD took a knee with them, and then they rode alongside them to as they marched. And I think that speaks volumes about the type of community we have, where when we exercise our rights, we do so peacefully, and that all of us are in this together and we all care about this issue.
Well, and speaking about your hiring practices, you have a perfect opportunity right now in your search for a superintendent for the system.
Right. We absolutely do. And that's part of the reason why we've posted it to the Mass Association of School Committees, the Mass Association of School Superintendents, the National Association of School Superintendents. It's posted on our own website. But here's the deal. So we want candidates from all over. We want candidates with a wide array of backgrounds, and we want everyone to know that you know, we're doing the best we can to make sure that every person, regardless of background, is aware of this opportunity.
Appreciate your time. Anything else, Anthony?
No, I think that just about does it. I do want to mention, you know, just touching on the superintendent search, focus group meeting details should be going out to parents by the time this interview is posted.
Okay.
So that they can get more information about it. If you haven't taken the superintendent leadership profile survey yet, the online survey, I encourage everyone at home to please take it. And the search committee is having their first meeting tonight, Thursday, June 4th. Which will be a public meeting. The orientation meeting is public, just so folks are aware. Meetings after that are not open to the public to protect the privacy of the individuals that apply and the pretty personal discussions that can go on about who can advance and who's not going to advance. So we're moving forward, but at this point, it's all Mr. Santoro and the search committee moving us forward until they give us some finalists.
All right, sounds good. We'll stay in touch and catch up with you next week if that's okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank you.